Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. We got a ton of great stuff coming up. So let's get started by doing Trump's first 48 hours. I think we did, what, Trump's first 24 hours yesterday? Today's Trump's first 48 hours, because honestly, so much of the stuff that he's done, we haven't even been able to get to. There's so much to get to. I want to get to some of it here. Starting with this big AI investment, and it's an interesting thing because getting a lot of money brought into the United States, good. Controlling artificial intelligence here in the United States, good. Massive expansions of AI, gonna be some good things that come out of that. Perhaps some bad ones as well. There's a lot to think about with this one. Trump highlighting a partnership, investing $500 billion in AI. The new entity, Stargate, will start building out data centers and the electricity generation needed for further development of the fast-evolving AI in Texas, according to the White House. The initial investment is expected to be $100 billion and could reach five times that sum. It's a big money. It's big money and high-quality people, said Trump, adding that it's a resounding declaration of confidence in America's potential under his new administration. There's a lot of truth to that, right? Like, people all around the world are looking at America right now and going, you know, we can go to Europe, I guess, and, you know, be, you know, sued for not being woke enough or, you know, be forced to do something that we don't want to do by the, you know, European Union. We can go to a bunch of these other continents where they're very unstable. China is sort of a mess right now. Or we can go to America, where they just elected Trump, and Trump's a really friendly business guy. We can get some real growth going there. So they are coming here. There are negatives to this one, potentially. I do like the idea, though, that artificial intelligence is controlled as much as it can be by the United States. I mean, one thing that's interesting about AI is it's probably not going anywhere. Boys and girls, like I think there's a lot of people out there have this idea that, look, we're on the verge of making this decision of whether we're going to embrace AI or throw it in the dustbin of history. Like, it's just not going to happen, I don't think. I don't think even if you made it illegal today that it would happen. If you made crypto illegal today, I think that would still go on. AI is already doing so much in our world. You know, people are using it because they're lazy. People are using it because they're productive. They're using it for so many different things, and it's not even close to what it's going to be someday. So I like the fact that we have the control there. I have questions as to who's controlling it in the business world, and whether those people are going to do the right things with it. You know, Elon Musk is very skeptical of the group that is investing this money. He's been outward about that. That's another interesting thing. I will say, I do have a pool with some of my friends in which we predicted the day that Donald Trump and Elon Musk would start hating each other. And we have dates all throughout the calendar. I think mine's in May. I believe mine's in May. I thought they'd have outward words against each other, like Trump bashing him and him maybe firing back on Twitter. I gave it till May, because not because of any other reason, just that they're just two huge personalities that have really strong beliefs. And I don't think they believe the same things necessarily. Some things they really align on, and there's certainly a beneficial arrangement between them right now, but I don't know how long that lasts. We will see. Maybe I'm wrong. Trump administration to expand DNA collection at the border. Part of the border package, there's a ton of stuff going into that. The Trump administration is planning to expand the collection of DNA from migrants who cross U.S. borders and to include the information in a massive criminal database operated by the FBI. The effort is separate from and much broader from rapid DNA testing done on families at the U.S.-Mexico border to help detect adults falsely posing as parents. Now, I think there's always a hesitation from conservatives when you start saying stuff like, we're going to collect your DNA. We're the government. We're here to help you. That should never be done with U.S. citizens. And I think even some of the private efforts to be done, like, I don't think there's any problem with if you want to go to one of these companies and you say, hey, I want to learn more about my lineage, so I'm going to give you my DNA. Like, that is your decision. I don't think it should be like searchable for the government, though, whenever they want that information. That a lot of these big crimes have been solved, not even by the people who committed the crimes, putting the DNA into these databases, but like relatives of theirs. They're like, I'm going to go check out my family history. And they put that in there, and then they find a tie to a criminal, you know, who's living in a totally different place. It's a fascinating thing. Great for solving crimes, but also could be used for really bad things by the government. That doesn't make me comfortable. But look, if you are an illegal immigrant or a legal immigrant coming into this country, you have certain hoops you got to jump through that citizens don't. That's part of coming here. You know, it's just part of the situation. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're a sovereign nation. We don't have to let you in. If you want to come in, you want to have this great blessing of this awesome country that we have. Great. You got to play by some additional rules. There's an additional qualification process. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Trump is ordering federal workers back to office 5 days a week. In an issue ordered on Monday, the White House instructed all U.S. government departments and agencies in the executive branch to end remote work arrangements and require employees to return to work on a full-time basis. Department heads can exempt some workers from the requirement. There's a lot of people who are still working at home, some people have jobs that it's absolutely fine for them to do it at home. That might be your arrangement with your company. And if so, that's great. If it works for you, if it works for the company, that's fantastic. A lot of people like used COVID as a reason to never come to work again. And like, okay, but you had COVID in 2021. Why are you here? Why aren't you here now? Working at home can be great. You know, it's a lot better at times than going into the office and having to deal with all the smelly people and the really stale donuts. Your donuts might be fresh at home, and that's certainly an advantage. But I think for most people, like, reality is we're already back to work. We've been back to work for a long time. And the fact that the government is just getting around to it is the thing that's kind of shocking here. Trump wants you at work. Go to work. If you don't want to go to work, you can find a company that will let you work from home, I'm sure. You could try that. That's on you. But especially when you're getting paid by the U.S. taxpayer, your full attention is required. So just try not to screw it up while you're there. The one flag policy has also been put in. This is Trump administration telling U.S. embassies that they can't fly stuff like the Pride flag or BLM flags. The order states only the U.S. flag can be flown at U.S. facilities, domestic and abroad. The outlet reporting, this is a couple days ago. It's one of the first things he did, actually, and it was a smart one. The only exceptions are the prisoner of war, missing in action emblem, and the wrongful detainees flag, which obviously has importance overseas. That's a good one, too. Look, you want to do this stuff on your own? This is something that Coinbase was really good on early on, the company. Look, you want to have political interests? Great. You want to go protest? You want to go make arrangements? You want to organize people? Fantastic. You know when's a good time to do that? The weekend. That's a good time to do that. If you're working overseas, you want to get an apartment and put up the pride flag in some country where they absolutely despise it. You can do that if you want. But when you're at work, it's going to be about work now. Work things are going to be the thing we focus on. So that's another one. Trump is also revoking clearances of ex-Intel officials who signed the letter on the Hunter Biden laptop. Remember this? President Donald Trump says his administration will revoke the security clearances of more than four dozen former intelligence officials who signed up for a 2020 letter saying that Hunter Biden laptop, that whole thing was a Russian information operation. The action is an early indication of the president's determination to exact retribution on perceived adversaries. Like, that is how the AP writes that story. What are you talking about? If you sign on to that letter, you did not have the information as to whether it was true or not. Okay? You just made it up because you didn't like Donald Trump. That is not an issue about political retribution. You are not qualified for the job you're in if you're going to make up details and try to fool the American people out of electing someone. You have absolutely no justification to remain in a high security role if that's something you did. It's one thing to be wrong about something. It's another thing to intentionally mislead the population or just mislead the population without the evidence needed to make broad statements like that. That is not, it's not an act of retribution. It's justice. That is a completely true statement. If you went to that level to just go after a political enemy, I don't want you anywhere near our national intelligence. I want to bring in Dave Landau. We'll talk about some more of these executive orders and a bunch of other crazy stuff going on. Dave Landau from Normal World here on Blaze TV joins us next. America. How far will a teacher go to save a kid on the brink of losing everything? From Angel Studios, this is the studio behind Sound of Freedom, comes a movie called Brave the Dark. It's an inspiring new true story about a troubled teen struggling to survive in a world that's let him down. Haunted by torturous childhood memories, Nate Williams is the guy. He finds himself engulfed in darkness when his drama teacher, Mr. Dean, bails him out of jail and takes him in. Nate must confront his past before it leads to his own destruction. It's a great story. Brave the Dark reminds us that one meaningful connection can change everything. This film is going to leave you, I think, uplifted. I think it's going to leave you inspired. I think it's going to show you the strength and compassion and the impact of never giving up on someone. A lot of times we go down those roads and we think to ourselves, what I'm doing isn't important. Little things you do can change the world. And that's what happened with Brave the Dark. It's in theaters this Friday. You can get your tickets today at angel.com/stew. The movie's called Brave the Dark. It's in theaters on Friday. Get your tickets today at angel.com/stew.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I'm joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. Dave, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, how are you?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Are you a Lions fan?
You bet.
There's got to be a little torture going on because the Lions, I have to admit, I'm an Eagles fan. So I'm very excited to not be playing them this coming weekend.
Yeah.
But they were probably the best team in the league and they just got destroyed by injuries.
By the Commanders.
By the Commanders.
We couldn't even keep the name Redskins. That's who we lost to.
That's sad.
By a lot.
Yeah.
We just played awful. Like, Jared Goff, he was playing like he had a gluten allergy. All he did was just throw interceptions the entire game. It was very upsetting.
Like, yeah.
We didn't even get as far as last year, and we had more hope this year.
Yeah, I mean, it really did seem like this was the year.
Oh, it did.
Well, this has been it feels like the Lions, this is their story. Right. And in some ways it feels like you're a Detroit guy. This is like a Detroit story, very specifically Detroit.
Oh, there's a charm to never making it.
Yeah.
There was we birthed the Industrial Revolution and then have done nothing great since.
It's a great laurel, but you shouldn't rest this long on it.
No. And you have Jeff Daniels going on every show and singing, you know, the song about the curse of I forget the name. Mm. But it's like, just stop. Wait till the curse is broken. Wait until we actually get into a Super Bowl. I just want to be in a Super Bowl. I don't care if we get 0 points. I just want to be able to say we made it to a Super Bowl. But we're never going to get there,
yeah.
I don't think. I think that would be part of the charm is we'll just never make it.
Yeah, I mean, because the Eagles didn't win a Super Bowl for many years, from 1960 until 2017. My entire life was this story, basically. They would occasionally get there, but it would always be mired in some terrible failure at the end.
Yeah.
And
you go on.
Yeah, you do go on, yeah. But there is something inspiring about it. Like, you have to, it's not like easy. Like, Glenn has become a magical Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I don't know how much it's Taylor Swift related to him. I think Andy Reid's cooler than Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Regardless, though.
I get that he's a big fan.
Yeah, exactly. Huge. But like,
big Tay-Tay fan.
Big Tay-Tay fan. You know, he's been a Swifty. Glenn's a big Swifty. People don't know that. But it's one of those things where it's easy to be a Chiefs fan right now, right? Like, you got Patrick Mahomes. Every year you go back there, you win. There's something that builds character when you've got a team that just, to like them is to be destroyed by them.
Oh, when there's no fair weather and you just stick with it?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Like, that's what I've always enjoyed being. It's why I've always liked being a Lions fan.
Yeah.
And you also don't have to invest in a whole full season. You know, at some point, you're going to be kicked. You're just not going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, and I shouldn't say it, but it's like when people were leaving dressed in like entire lion costumes looking like they were going to cry, mm-hmm. I was just laughing. And I'm also at home wearing like a Lions jersey and like a big chain with a lion on it. And I'm just laughing because it's what happens to us. We we're used to it.
I had never heard the selling point of you don't have to spend the whole season. This is interesting. Nice. You don't have to be engaged for more than like a month or two. No. You hit Halloween and you're done.
Yeah, you're finished. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
And then the Thanksgiving game comes on and everyone's like, oh gosh, the Lions are playing again, aren't they? Yeah. But this year was different. This year was supposed to be different.
I've been to so many Lions games where they lost on Thanksgiving that I just stopped going. And it wasn't really because they lost. It's just cold and it's early and I don't really just want to watch a team lose when I can just do it on TV.
Right.
So, yeah. But no, it would just be nice to see him go once. I think with Dan Campbell, we really do have a shot. I have faith in Goff. He seems to be very good, but that was a really bad game.
I think it's supposed to be faith in God, Dave. It's not faith in Goff. It's faith in God.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a different, it's a totally different statement altogether. Yeah. What's the story of Detroit right now? Not the Lions, but Detroit, because my perception of Detroit is Damascus, basically. Like it is like a hellscape. Maybe people are getting murdered around every corner. They've just let all the prisoners out of jail. I don't know what's going on there. I never hear a positive story about Detroit. And then I saw Sarah Gonzalez, who did a documentary. You could watch that on Blaze TV, by the way. And she was like, the downtown was gorgeous. It's like the best downtown I've been to in a long time.
Yeah.
What's the story of Detroit?
Well, the downtown looks really good because it's been newly put back together. So that helps.
Is it like a Disneyland, basically? Like they just manufactured a nice looking area?
In comparison.
Okay.
It's like if basically a money laundering car wash got a new paint job.
Okay.
Like, you're like, oh, that looks better than it did. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go through there? No. It's better than people have always said. Like, there's always been character to it. There's always been a background to it, like Motown music, punk, and the stories out of it. It's worth it. I mean, yes, every mayor has been very corrupt, but how many mayors just buy a Lincoln Navigator with, you know, petty cash and drive it around like you're not supposed to notice?
Right.
We've had that.
That happened?
Oh, yeah. We had it with Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah.
So he bought a Lincoln Navigator.
Yeah, with petty cash and just cruised around town in it.
Wait, what dealership is selling you? You must have a lot of petty cash to get a Lincoln Navigator.
Quite a bit. And what's funny about Detroit is they're actually the ones that put in the rule, or Michigan, that you can't buy cars with cash, because during the crack boom of the 80s, all these drug dealers were buying Cadillacs, a Don Gooley Cadillac, just by being like, how much is that? Oh, $18,000 for a new one?
Right, yeah.
I'll take the DeVille. And because of it, they were like, we can't do this anymore. There's been way too many questions asked by the IRS. So, to know somebody who's actually going to take that cash and just give you a car, it's pretty exciting.
Is it me, or is that the wrong way to think about a problem? Like, if you have a bunch of drug dealers and they're making lots of money, maybe preventing them from buying cars with cash is not the way to solve the long-term problem. Like, right?
Like, well, yeah, you think you might go after the drugs, but they're like, hey, quit buying Cadillacs that are new.
And yeah.
It's like, all right, we'll steal them.
It doesn't seem that way. We were in Washington, D.C., which is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
It's lovely.
What a wonderful city that is.
It shows how well our government's doing.
Exactly. And I made sure to get the hell out of there on a flight that was so close to the end of the show that I had to leave 10 minutes early. Like, I was like, it's the only flight I could get, Glenn, I promise. And, you know, it's just a disaster. Of course, you know, with Trump getting into office, every road is closed. And I've never been in as many cabs that have had that much body odor in them. And I would think a southern city where it's hot and you're sweaty, that's where you'd go. It was, I mean, every single one I bumped into, I ran into, was like immediate, the second you went in, it was like some foreign spice, you know, component of
it's
food.
Curry, you can just say.
It may have been curry. I don't know.
It's a lot of curry.
It was a lot of curry.
Yeah. It smells like one meal in every cab.
Yeah, yes.
Like, do you guys all live in the same house and share a kitchen?
It is odd. I will say we live in where we broadcast from Irving here,
yeah.
Which is, I don't know if you know this. This is true. The most diverse city in America. So this is the utopia.
It is diverse.
It is very diverse.
In the sense of there's curry smell in the air all the time.
Yes. It's funny. It's supposed to be diverse, but every building does smell the same way when it comes, especially any restaurant. Like, isn't this a cheesesteak place? Why does this taste like this? Also smells like curry. There is, just because there's a massive Indian population here. There's a massive Asian population here.
Yes.
It's like 25% of four groups. It's like a DEI dream.
Yeah.
And you know what? People don't notice it, really. I mean, you might notice it with the food here and there. You might notice some of the traditions are a little bit different. But generally speaking, people just kind of get along because they're bored with what the left wants to present. Like, yes. The left wants this DEI thing and race and all these cultural differences to be the only thing we think about. And then you come to a city like this where it could theoretically be all you think about. There's a lot of different people here. And I feel like people just shrug their shoulders at it.
Well, because it's not impressive. Like, once you just jam everybody into a city, it's like, it stops being something that has a lot of character or a lot of charm, I should say, or at least it's like, oh, like, you're not in Chinatown, you're not in this part. It's just everybody's white. Everybody just kind of becomes white.
Right.
Or Asians who are just better at it.
Yeah. The smarter whites.
Yes.
That's
the ones that now can't get into schools.
Yeah. And it's okay to discriminate against them.
It's fine.
That is totally fine.
As long as you're an intelligent minority, it is okay to discriminate. We've learned that.
That is very true. I do feel like I was watching some Netflix documentary on the Cold War, which is, you know, just, I like that stuff. It's not the greatest documentary in the world, but it went over.
I do the same when I lose the remote.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
Yeah. So I'm watching this, and it's going through the whole internment camps thing.
Yeah.
For Asians and for Japanese people in particular in World War II. It's going through all that, and it's like, we talk, so much of the talk in the media is about like oppression. Mm-hmm. Right, the oppressed group. I'm an aggrieved group, and I just need help with this, and this, because I've been wronged. Not me, not my dad, not my grandpa, not my great grandpa, but my great 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 grandpa had some really crappy stuff go on to them, and they did. There's no doubt about that. But like, I look at the Asian population. They were throwing people who are still alive today into prison camps for doing absolutely nothing wrong in this country.
Right.
And they're like, yes, I got a 1640 on my SATs. Like,
right.
They're like, yes, I own every business in this entire city. Yes. Like, how is it possible, if this oppression storyline is true, that story could also be true for Japanese Americans?
Well, yeah, because you're being forced to build railroads. I just said it like railroads.
Railroads.
It's really offensive. But you're being forced to build railroads. You're like, you know, one day we could just build this dream for ourselves. And the idea that like you're owed something for somebody else's suffering has always been bizarre to me. Mm. So just because my grandma had diabetes doesn't mean I should start taking insulin.
Right, you're right.
It's an odd, it's like they're able to just fight through it and succeed and be wildly successful. Like, so many people that come to this country don't come here to fail. Like, the ones that legally come here, they really come here to work hard. And it's like, if you want to work 16 hours working at a gas station until you can finally make enough money to buy another one and buy another, like, they have a plan. There's so many Americans where we're kind of just spoiled and we don't realize what we have, that we don't have a plan. We just assume it'll work out. We kind of have this strange ideology, and it's like, these people actually, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a word for bust there, you know, but they work very, very hard for what they want.
Yeah, you know, I was, you see this a lot with, I mean, if I could just be an old man for a second.
It's fine.
But it's like, these kids today, Dave.
Yes.
You know, every time I go on social media, I see some millennial or younger saying, you know, I can't believe what's happening to me and my generation. I bust my butt 40 hours a week. I'm working, you know, at, you know, Walmart or something. And I come home and I have nothing left over. And my parents, they all had homes at 35 years old. They were married with kids. And it's like, first of all, not really. Statistically, they didn't really.
No.
Statistically now, too, kids seem to be, I mean, those younger generations have more. I mean, at least, you know, when you look at economic data, they have more than their parents had, not less. The American dream is still there. I mean, they're trying to screw it up.
Yeah.
But it's still there. And there's this attitude built into a lot of these people, which is like, you know, I'm an American. I'm a kid. I think about myself all the time. Why aren't you thinking about me?
That's
right. Like,
a very good point.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you worried about my success?
Yeah.
Well, and also, everybody back then didn't want to be famous, which has now become this thing where you ask anybody at a certain age, you're like, oh, famous. And you're like, for what? No, I just want to be I want to be an influencer. Influence people to do what? Like, the idea of an influencer is you've done something that creates an influence that other people will want to strive to be.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to do that. You just want to go online. And I tell my son that, too. And, I mean, he works very hard. He plays baseball, football, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they have this idea. And also, you know, just on a side note, like, I'm 42, right? And I look like this. Like, if, like, and this is like me dressed as well as I dress.
I think you look beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I did it for you.
Thank you.
I was going to wear something more low cut, but they asked me to go change.
But you're going to wear the same thing that Amazon, that Jeff Bezos' girlfriend
yes,
was wearing?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, when I walk in, Mark Zuckerberg's just staring at my chest. I'll just flip-flopping on everything. But yeah, with all of it, I don't even know what to say because I just pictured that creep just like.
That was interesting because we're going off topic here.
It's fine.
I haven't hit any of the news stories I have planned to talk to you about, but the Zuckerberg thing, look. It's him being him. Someone wrote that it was nice to see that Mark Zuckerberg had finally hit puberty, which was kind of a nice. I thought that was nice.
It's true.
But it's like, you know, it is an interesting thing to do. If I don't know if you saw the Bill Simmons, a podcaster, sports guy.
Yeah.
He was at a WWE event recently, and there, you know, it was the first one, that WWE Raw on Netflix. So it was a big deal. You know, cameras everywhere, and you know, all his fans are posting pictures of him in the crowd, and he's right in the front row, and he's sitting there. And at some point, the in-house feed goes to, I don't know wrestling, but some very attractive female. Wrestler. I don't know if she's something to do with wrestling.
There's a few of them, yeah.
Yeah. So she's up there and she's just dancing around and doing her little, like, I'm really good looking. I know you all like me because I'm hot. Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
And
it's
she,
the dance I do.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. I've seen you do it in the hallways.
Sailors,
and
yes.
It's, again, hard to peel my eyes away.
Exactly.
But he's sitting there and she's right over to his right and he is just dead straight. Everything in his mind is, number one, I know there's a hot girl right to my right. I cannot look at it. If I look at it, cameras will freeze frame my eyes and they will know I was looking at her butt. So I must, and he was disciplined to the point of like, I mean, it was incredible to see this discipline. He knew everything about him. Everything about him was aware that there could be a camera on me and I cannot look no matter what. Mark had no awareness of this. This is one of the richest guys in the world.
Yes.
He's on television. Every camera in the world is in this room focusing on him. And you just have to somehow come up with the inner strength to not take a peek.
And especially for so long. Like, he's so new to being a man.
Mm.
Like, it just came out a couple weeks ago on Rogan that he figured out that... I heard that he just started taking some kind of testosterone,
yeah.
And now he's a guy.
Oh,
so, like, he's so new to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't even understand that there's a way to, like, kind of peek or, like, move your head and, like, oh... And I'm not saying you should do this.
No, well, I mean, it seemed like you just did say that.
I did. Look, I'll be me. You have to, it's why I wear sunglasses to the beach with my wife, so she has no idea what I'm looking.
Okay.
I'm not doing it to be a pervert.
No.
I'm doing it for her. I'm doing it
for,
so she
for who?
My wife.
Okay.
So she thinks that she married a good person. That way when we're at the beach and I'm wearing sunglasses and I look at everything, nobody really knows. You have to have tricks when you're going to check it, check out. That's what I'm saying.
Now do marriage counseling? Do you provide this to service to other couples?
We
how
do.
Does this work?
I do. I explain to guys like how
it would look.
There's just so many ways. Like he could have, if he was yawning like that, you wouldn't have known. I'm just saying there's moves he could have done to make it look a little more innocent.
You have to try though.
Right.
You can't do, even if you're going to do it, again, like this is not the best best practice, but if you're going to do it, it has to be a gradual sort of head turn, you know, like look, women wear outfits for reasons. A lot of times it's to attract male attention. Men wear I know you don't dress like that. You know, we wouldn't just dress like that for comfort. Like you're trying to attract the female gaze,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so...
It's my fault.
Exactly.
If something happens.
So a guy's going to look. You can't do the dart down. That's the key there, Dave.
Yes.
You can't do the straight eye, dart down, straight back.
Right.
Like that's the moment where it's blatantly obvious. He can't even come up with plausible deniability.
No, he did this. He went... and just stared for like long enough for several people to take a picture.
Yeah.
Like he just stared at it. You don't just stare at breasts.
No.
And especially, at least if like the girl's dancing for WWE right?
Right.
And the guy's looking over. There's still some plausible deniability of like, well, I'm watching a show.
Right.
But he still restrained himself.
Yes.
This is not a show. This isn't even anything you should be looking at.
No.
So you can't even just yawn or like maybe. There's just so many moves you could do. But the idea that you wouldn't restrain yourself even in the slightest bit, it makes no sense. And also, I don't like him.
Is this part of it? Like, if you did like him, would you give him a little bit more of a break on that?
I don't think you should just stare at cleavage.
No, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. It really isn't.
No, because you know right when he got home, like, I don't care how many billions of dollars you have, your wife still saw that picture.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, so this? Is this what you want?
Right. Oh, it's God. I can't even imagine.
She's like, I bought you a Cybertruck.
Cybertruck is not going to win you over on this one. All right, let me take a quick break because we're way, way long.
Sorry.
I want to come back with some actual news because there is technically actually news going on today outside of the Mark Zuckerberg staring at women's breasts news. We'll get back to that with Dave Landau here in just a second.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
We are back with Dave Landau. He's the host of Blaze TV's Normal World. Dave, the LA fires are obviously terrible. It did happen to like the least sympathetic area in America. And I think at first it was like, oh, screw those celebrities. I saw a lot of that, which obviously terrible. I mean,
yes.
I mean, it's just online nonsense reaction. But then you see that like a lot of these people were average working folks who live in L.A. a lot of times because they were able to buy a house years and years and years ago.
Sure.
And have held on to it all this time. And now their house is destroyed. And then we find out that the insurance companies cut off their access to their policies over the past year or two. And now they're just like, I own a bunch of rubble. Like, it is, it's terrible.
Well, the idea that the insurance companies cut that off is astonishing to me, because the reason why you get insurance is it's a risk in the area.
Right.
So, okay, you have wildfires, you have flooding, there's reasons why you get insurance, break-ins. I imagine it's high, but you're paying the premium on it.
Yeah.
That's just like a car insurance company being like, listen, we cover everything except for accidents and theft. Other than that,
right.
we'll cover anything else.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That's like pet insurance, I feel like.
Yes.
Have you ever had pet insurance for one of your pets?
No, it makes no sense.
Now I'm an idiot, so I bought it at one point. and at one point we had a dog at the time and the dog got sick.
Sorry.
So it's a sad story.
Yeah.
May God rest her soul. It wasn't that illness. She wound up getting some surgery or something, and so we're like, oh, I can't believe this. We actually have freaking pet insurance. What are the odds of this? We turn it in. They're like, oh yeah, we're not paying for that. And I'm like, why? Well, that's that particular ailment is specific to that breed. And I'm like,
right.
Well, yeah, like that's why I wanted to make sure I got insurance. And they're like, no, other dogs that look like that dog have had that thing.
Yeah, you're
so
like,
you get nothing.
You're like, so I'm having a pre-existing condition argument about a Labradoodle.
Yes.
And what it's, yeah, that's why I didn't, I've looked at it too, and I'm like, there's no way. Because I know it'll not work out in the end.
No.
You just bring it in and you'll go, oh, what do you think? Do you fix the broken leg? And they're like, oh, we'll put it down.
Right.
And you're like, all right, this isn't what I thought you would do.
Like, their entire insurance company is just a guy with a gun that comes to your house and just says, put the kid upstairs for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm from pet care. I'm just here. Is that a knife? And yeah. Rope?
It's a little sad. Watching this all develop, though, in L.A. Is sad. And there's been some real tragic stories.
Of course.
I would say maybe the most tragic is the loss of Hunter Biden's artwork.
Unbelievably sad.
I was devastated by this.
I had a Fruit Loop necklace coming in the mail from him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I guess I'm never going to see it.
No.
I mean, true, true art.
Yeah.
I think in no way the fact that it's valued at millions and millions of dollars and somehow got burned, I don't see an insurance scam at all.
No.
No way.
It feels, I saw that news came out and they were like, oh, millions of dollars destroyed in his artwork. And it's like, did he just ship that in from out of town when the fire happened? Like, they were all held in, like, Marietta, Georgia. And then they got them on a plane, flew them out there, lit them all on fire, and hoped nobody noticed.
Exactly. And they're just like, all right, let's hide it at my lawyer's house.
Right, yeah.
Or wherever it was. I think it was his lawyer, though. It was some strange place. I don't know. But, yeah, like, let's hide it there. We'll say they're worth millions, because they're very rare. It's not like I make these every time I smoke crack. So it's just, it's endless amount of paintings. Too. Mm. It's not rare. He makes them constantly.
Yes.
There's no value to them.
No.
The only reason why anybody ever bought one of those was to launder money or because Joe was like, hey, you know my kid? Yeah, the special one. Mm-hmm. And they're like, he's not special, Joe. But you know what I'm saying. Like, would you just buy one of his? I want to feel like he has a talent.
Yeah. Like that's like if you ever go like if you're ever in like a traffic jam and you're stopped and like someone a couple of kids walk up with a cooler of like O. Henry bars.
Yes.
And they're like, can you please buy for our little league team? Can you buy our O. Henry bars? And you're like, no one's bought an O. Henry bar in 84 years. But like you kind of, it's more of just a plea to help the person. Right.
Right. Well, and then you ask what team they're on and they're like, I didn't think this far ahead.
Team.
This is a scam. We should have practice this.
That's really what they should have just done with the Biden family at this point. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just a scam. It's not, we don't actually have any information on that.
Yeah.
And of course, when you have a scam like that.
Yes.
And it penetrates your entire family at every level. I think down to Navy.
The joke that I could make.
Oh, yeah. I should have known. Penetrates maybe not the best word for this particular story.
Well, I'm just saying, with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking earlier about staring.
Right,
anyway,
yeah,
go
yeah.
on.
So he gets to the end of this. And I mean, even to the annoyance of a lot of liberals, it seems, he just pardons his entire family for things that don't even, not even like Biden, Hunter Biden, where he pardons him. Okay, he's had these charges. I'm going to say they're politically motivated. We're pardoning him. And I'm like, I could see a parent doing that really at any point.
I'm with you. Like, he shouldn't be pardoned.
Right.
But yeah.
You could see it
if
it's your kid and maybe you're convinced it was partisan and maybe you're convinced he's just turned his life around. You know what? I'm going back to prison. I don't know. Maybe you could justify it. I'd hope I wouldn't, but maybe I would.
And you really just found out about him that day. Like, you have to constantly be reminded who people are.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's
really
true.
Not all on him.
Like, when Hunter comes in for the party, he's like, nice to meet you.
Yeah. It's like, I'm your son.
Yeah. Sad, but true. The other people in his family, look, some of the names I didn't even know. I mean, Jim Biden is absolutely, in my view, guilty of a multitude of crimes.
Yeah.
He's pardoned all these
in
other.
The law's mind as well.
Yeah. Yes. And many lawyers, judges, police officers' minds. It was fascinating to see that because it's as brazen as anything I've ever seen a president do.
Especially at the last second. The way that he just did it, where he's like, and everyone that ever helped me commit crimes right now, you, everybody gets a pardon, go about your business, all at the last second. And Fauci and all these other people, Adam Schiff, who said, the guy who looks like the Campbell's soup kid with bulimia. But you have all these guys who at the last second, and Adam Schiff has said on record where he's like, well, nobody who is who's not guilty gets a pardon. Clearly you're guilty of something. Oh, well, you just got pardoned. Do you want to explain why? You know, tell us what you did.
Yeah.
And Fauci, too. Like, him pardoning Fauci is just admitting that everything was a hoax that he was doing.
Mm. I mean,
at least in my mind.
Could you say, I mean, I guess their argument would be, we know Donald Trump. He's going to come after anybody he sees as an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we think Anthony Fauci's on that list. We don't think he did anything wrong. But I mean, this would be their argument for the family members, right? Like Liz Cheney, right?
You're
Why
right.
is Liz Cheney getting a pardon? Well, she was mean to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is coming after him. He's coming after his political enemies. I mean, I feel like the media has totally distorted that. But I mean, I guess that's their argument, right? And I don't think it should be something a president should be able to do.
No, and if you've been on The View, you don't deserve a pardon. It should be part of the rules.
That's true.
That you, I just feel it should be a rule. Mm-hmm. That if you've ever been on that show, no pardon.
Is this one of your, like a proposed executive order? Would you go as far as to say Trump should actually put this
There's
out?
There's some executive orders I think he could have put through. That's one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me throw one at you.
Okay.
on the conservative side of the aisle, we'll often talk about how it's not appropriate for a woman to be going to the bathroom and a man to come in there dressed as a woman and take out his schlong and be right next to her. It's just not, it's not the appropriate.
Well, I've apologized twice.
No, I know. I didn't mean to hit you on it again. And I think that that's true. Here's another thing I think is inappropriate. Why am I at a urinal when another guy comes up next to me with his schlong out, going to the bathroom in the same room as me? I believe, this is a stance I have.
Yeah.
Going to the bathroom should be a one person per room act. There's no reason to have a group. It's not a community event. This is something you should do by yourself. I did at my house. I only have one person in each bathroom. Many bathrooms are built this way, Dave. I believe executive order, one person, one bathroom.
I'm with you. And I also think, let's say we don't keep it that way, but you're at a urinal, and someone stands next to you.
Yes.
And there's 10 other open urinals. Yeah. That person should be banned from public events for 10 years. For whatever number of urinals he could have used that were next to you is 1 year where he's not allowed outside.
I think that's fine. I think that is fine. I think that is it's a worthwhile pursuit.
I think it's fair.
Do you have one more? We have about 30 seconds.
No more Alien Predator movies. That would be good.
That's enough.
Stop making all these remakes of the exact same three movies.
Yeah.
Every few years, that would be really ideal.
Do you like the combination combination movie franchise idea? Like, I remember seeing Freddy versus Jason.
I didn't
years
hate
ago.
That.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah,
I
that, it was that I enjoyed. Yeah,
yeah. So it's not against that concept.
No, it's just like I don't want to see yet another Terminator, where now they have to add new rules to keep putting Schwarzenegger in it. Where like, well, the Terminators do age and have gray hair. It's like, well, no, but you just created that.
That's just
it wasn't part of it before.
That's just nonsense.
Could you imagine how bad that would look if he came back to save John Connor in Terminator 2 and he's just this old, graying, Austrian naked guy who shows up? Also, the whole idea of just this naked guy showing up to save a kid is just weird to begin with. Great movie, but when you go back and rewatch it, you're like, this is a bit odd.
80s were weird.
Well, yeah, they're like, you can't time travel and wear clothes.
Right.
Somehow Back to the Future figured it out.
Yeah, there's no real reason to remove the clothes there, is there?
No. It just felt like it was like, we need to show everybody Arnold's biceps.
Yeah.
I just want to shoot this all day.
Well, I'm, you know, this is, it's a disturbing way to end an interview, talking about naked men rescuing children. But, I mean, you expect that from Dave Landau. You expect it from Normal World. It's right here on Blaze TV. He'll be speaking more about naked men and children coming up later on the schedule. Dave, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And you're welcome for that wonderful promotion.
I appreciate it.
Well, we've heard a lot about the Los Angeles fires recently. We just talked about them. You know, a space larger than San Francisco has been burned. It's just terrible, terrible tragedy. 400,000 people without power, 180,000 have been forced to evacuate with hardly any time to get necessities. I mean, imagine finding yourself in that spot. It's a terrible, terrible story. Now, what about preparation? Because you might leave that situation and be able to go to a hotel. You might be able to find some things. You might be able to get food at a restaurant, whatever. But that's not always the case when it comes to medication. You know, you might not have a prescription ready to go get the medication you need, and your medication might be burned up in a fire. It's just been a terrible situation for so many people. Well, there is something that you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have medical care when it's needed, and that's the JACE case. The JACE case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It's got five life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. You just fill out a simple form online. You'll have it in case you need it. They even have ivermectin on there, which we're told is horse paste. So if you want horse paste at any time, you can go to jace.com and get it. It's jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. If you use the code STU10, you get a discount on your order right now. Promo code is STU10 at jace.com, J-A-S-E.com, the code STU10. I'm not a senator. I know it's very disappointing, but if I were, I think there would be some votes that were difficult, right? Like you'd have something that's like, oh, gosh, it has these positives, but these negatives. Which way should I go on this? You're getting pressures from your constituents and donors and all these things. I'm sure the job is difficult sometimes. And there's other days I feel like it should be really easy. Like when someone puts in front of you the Born Alive bill, which basically says, hey, if a baby is born alive after a botched abortion, you should try to save its life. Now, That one to me sounds easy because the justification, which is nonsensical to me, that this is not a human person, but that's a justification. It's not actually a baby yet. Of course you can kill it in the womb. All right, whatever. That's insane. But like that justification goes away when the baby's been born and is like breathing on its own. So, but of course, Democrats are still going to defeat it. They're still going after it. It failed with a vote of 52 to 47. One Republican did not vote. So we'll get into that a little bit more later on. Also want to tell you, maybe end the show on some good news here. CNN announcing about 200 layoffs. That's mean. I have friends who still work there, and I don't think they got laid off. Hopefully not. But it is just there's just nothing there. They're already back to calling Trump Hitler. This is not going to work. And it has nothing to do with that. I'm sure these decisions are just, you know, business decisions, and they don't believe there's any tie to their editorial opinions. But man, it's so obvious to everyone. Why would you tune in? You know what they're going to say every time: Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. So you can get that in a World War II documentary.